This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We all know that our society equates beauty, wealth, talent, and athleticism with success. But did you realize that the book of James warns us against showing any kind of favoritism? In fact, it calls us to live by the law of liberty. Let's talk about that in today's message. Please stay with us.
Today we're going to take a look at a story about a church usher who really blew it one Sunday morning. Stay with us. There's an important lesson here for all of us. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you for another Sunday to pause and totally focus on you in worship. Because the truth is, we need to be in your presence. And we especially need a word from you. So breathe your word into our souls, for your word is a light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet. In Christ's name we ask this. Amen. Our reading for today is from James chapter 2, beginning verse 1. My brothers and sisters, do you with your acts of favoritism really believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ? For if a person with gold rings and in fine clothes comes into your assembly, and if a poor person in dirty clothes also comes in, and if you take notice of the one wearing the fine clothes and say, "Have a seat here, please," while to the one who is poor you say, "Stand there or sit at my feet," have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters, has not God chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom that he's promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. And is it not the rich who oppress you? Is it not they who drag you into court? Is it not they who blaspheme the excellent name that was invoked over you? You do well if you really fulfill the royal law. According to Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. Whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. For the one who said, "You shall not commit adultery," also said, "You shall not murder." Now, if you do not commit adultery, but if you murder, you've become a transgressor of the law. So, speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment will be without mercy to anyone who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Dear friends, have you ever heard that old saying, "Don't judge a book by its cover"? We usually use that line when just talking about people or situations. It's a warning about making surface judgments. Publishing companies do put a lot of money and effort into the design and cover of a book, though. Why? Because they know we naturally judge books by their covers. Well, in today's text, James tells us that that may be fine with books, but not with people. He begins our passage today by asking this group of Christians a question about their faith in Jesus, questioning how real it was. Listen to this line, "My brothers and sisters, do you with your acts of favoritism really believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ?" Apparently, there were some acts of favoritism going on within that congregation. Acts of discrimination, as we'd put it today, hurtful partiality were taking place in the church community. people were playing favorites. And these actions of favoritism were based solely on outward appearances and social position in the community. He tells a story about a church usher who blew it. He says he describes a situation in which the believers had met for worship and the ushers at the door, and he noticed two different people come in and they're looking for seats. Visitors. One of them appears to be very rich. He's got rings on his fingers. He's dressed great. He recognizes the man as being someone with a lot of influence in the surrounding community. Then he sees a poor guy coming in right behind him. He's not dressed well, and obviously he has had a rough go of it. This church usher ends up treating each of these individuals differently. One with deference, with great respect, and one with disdain, total disrespect. All on account of what was on the surface. He says to the one, "Come here, we've got the best seat in the house waiting just for you. We're so glad you're here today. It's good to see you." The other one is treated rather coolly. "You can sit over there in the back." Or, "Well, looks like we're out of seats. You could sit on the floor today at my feet." And James says, that is very inappropriate for Christians to be acting that way. James says that favoritism actually displays three things: evil motives, bad theology, and stupidity. Well, what could be the evil motives or the evil thoughts as it's described in our text for today? Boy, that guy, he could be a big financial help to our congregation. We better roll out the red carpet, make sure we keep him around. It's a self-serving attitude, isn't it? What we can get from this individual. In those days, the church was really taking it in the chin by the surrounding communities. People were questioning whether they were legitimate. Oftentimes, there was persecution going on. And they were losing jobs and so on if you were a Christian in the town. Perhaps they thought maybe this individual could help people see our church in a different light. It'd be nice to have somebody with some face recognition, and maybe people will start treating us better. Maybe we can actually get back to work with the help of individuals like this. I know within the church these days, even today, we have a tendency sometimes to, when a celebrity comes in to worship with us, to maybe be a little starstruck, and we really can pull out that red carpet and give them the all-star treatment. I remember earlier on in my ministry, a fellow came in to visit our congregation one evening for our evening service, and he was there with a friend. His friend was actually his former pastor. And this pastor took me aside and said to me, "You really want to be good to this guy. He's a great giver and he's got a lot of money." So we see that attitude even today sometimes taking place. Well, the other person, the poor person, he was treated in a totally different way, wasn't he? Like, "We don't really care if you're here or not. In fact, we're not even sure we want your types around here. You'll probably be wanting more from us than we can actually give you." Tended to ignore and dishonor. And James says, that's terrible theology. Because from the beginning of Scripture to the end, God has always shown a special place in his heart for the poor and the helpless. God loves the poor. When Jesus began his ministry, it says in the Gospel of Luke, and he shared that in his hometown, the passage in Isaiah 61, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has called me to bring good news to the poor." Not only was it evil motives behind this and bad theology and exercising that kind of bias towards someone, James says it's just plain stupid. he goes on to talk with them about, you know, the rich are always taking advantage. They're the ones that are always making life all the harder for you and for the poor as a whole. Why would you turn around and with such inconsistent behavior treat them like royalty? And don't you know that they stand opposed to the faith itself? Perhaps they did in those days. For instance, there were many servants and slaves that were part of the Christian movement. A rich person didn't want them getting this kind of teaching that they were valuable and important and were to be treated with dignity. Anyway, James says, if that's happening, then I really question the sincerity of your faith in Jesus Christ. Because that kind of behavior is absolutely incompatible with the one we follow, Jesus, and what he taught and how he treated people. He loved the poor, and the New Testament tells us he was a respecter of no person. He didn't play favorites. So if you are really committed to following Jesus Christ, James says, if you believe that Christ is central to your life and you find yourself in this kind of situation when you're with the influential and the insignificant, the attractive and the unattractive, the rich and the poor, both types visiting your church, for instance, if you're really committed to following Christ, you must treat them absolutely the same. You must treat them equally without thought of gain, without regard for what benefit you might or might not receive. You must love them impartially, not for what you can or can't get from them. Now, some may wonder, does this kind of behavior really happen in the church today? Well, we know that it happens in society, don't we? In the workplace, and in other places as well, in our culture. People get starstruck by celebrities or by people with lots of money. Let's get that guy to stick around. He could be a big help. But in the world today, for instance, according to an article in the Wall Street Journal that was written a while back, says most of us like to assume that we're enlightened and tolerant and unprejudiced people. Unfortunately, a new study reveals many of us have a hidden bias against anyone with a foreign accent. According to a summary of the study in the Wall Street Journal, it says the further from native sounding an accent is, the harder we have to work and the less trustworthy we perceive the information to be. It gets worse, though. Researchers found that the heavier the accent, the more skeptical participants became. In other words, if it sounds like you're not from around here, my suspicion radar is on high alert. My bias about you isn't based on your character. It's based on the fact that you talk differently. It's all a nice way of saying that despite our best intentions, we all have pockets of prejudice and bias. We show favoritism towards people who most resemble us. And James says, we need to look at Jesus to help us to uproot that partiality and love people who don't resemble us. An article came out in a survey that was done by Newsweek magazine back in 2010. And it says, in all elements of the workplace, from hiring to politics to promotions, looks matter, and they matter a lot. The research provided these results. Favoritism happens. 57% of hiring managers believe an unattractive but qualified job candidate will have a harder time getting hired. 68% of hiring managers believe that once hired, looks will affect the way managers rate an employee's job description. Your looks matter more than your resume. 59% of hiring managers advise spending as much time and money making sure they look attractive as on perfecting a resume. And it's worse for women. 61% of hiring managers, and 60% of them were men, said that women would benefit from wearing clothes that show off their figure. We judge overweight people. Although 75% of Americans are overweight, about 66% of managers said they thought some managers would hesitate before hiring someone who is significantly overweight. This article survey shows we also judge old people. 84% of managers said their bosses would hesitate before hiring a qualified candidate who looked much older than his or her coworkers. And finally, the survey shows we think favoritism based on looks is okay. 64% of hiring managers said they believe companies should be allowed to hire people based on looks. And that kind of thinking sometimes leaks over into the church and how we treat people who come in the doors of our congregational gatherings. Why? Well, we're pressured by the society. As we've just seen, we're pressured by Satan himself, who wants us to act just oppositely of what our Master Jesus Christ would act like. If there is one place where class distinctions should break down, it's in the place of worship, where color and political persuasion, type of Christian experience, money, status, rank, name, apparel, smell, size, and age mean absolutely nothing. And then James goes on to encourage us to take a positive turn. It's kind of a call to repentance. He says, the beloved of God, which is what we are in Christ, do well when they are fulfilling the royal law. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus was asked one day by people, what's the greatest commandment? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. The Apostle Paul picks up on that theme in the book of Romans, as he says, it's all summed up, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself, as a follower of Jesus. And James says, partiality is a sin, you see. It's breaking the law of royal love, the law that was given to us by our King Jesus. It makes you a transgressor when you actually show favoritism or treat people as less than others. So speak, James says, and act like those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. What's that law of liberty? It's the law of mercy and grace that we've been shown through Jesus Christ. As we have been treated with mercy and grace through Christ, we also are to speak and act towards all people with the mercy and grace that we have received. He says that how we have been treated by God through Jesus is how we are to treat one another. Mercy triumphs. Mercy triumphs. I'm reminded of that parable that Jesus told about the man who had been forgiven of a great debt, millions of dollars, by his master. And then he went out and he treated a fellow servant who owed him very little, terribly, had him thrown into jail. And the master, hearing about this incident, called in that servant who had just received forgiveness and then treated the other so badly, and he called him wicked. You wicked servant, should you have not shown mercy as I showed mercy to you? And Jesus says, so it is. So it is. Your heavenly Father expects you to show mercy and grace to those around you. Because here's the truth, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ. At the foot of the cross, the ground is level. All of us are sinners in God's sight. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us need the Savior. All of us are nothing more than poor beggars in the sight of God. And every one of us, all of us, were died for at that cross. When Jesus says it, it said it is finished, he had paid for the penalty for our sinfulness, for all people. At the foot of the cross, the ground is level. We're all beggars in the sight of God, no matter how much money is or isn't in your bank account. Now, maybe in this next week, you'll find yourself near someone who looks a little out of place, doesn't look like you. Maybe it's a young couple struggling to get all their gear and small children together, or they're making all kinds of noise in the worship service. Maybe it's an elderly person who's walking too slowly for your liking, pushing a walker, hoping not to get bumped into it, hoping someone will open the door for them. Maybe it's a teenager with skin problems and wearing an outrageous t-shirt with rings sticking out of his nose and his lips and his ears. Maybe it's someone who weighs too much or smells funny or talks too loud or has a strong fragrance on. Here among God's people, they're to be loved all the same. Seen through God's eyes. There's a song that came out a few years ago, a contemporary song by a group called Casting Crowns. They wrote, the song is "If We Are the Body." And in the bridge of the song, the songwriter says, "Jesus paid much too high a price to pick and choose who should come." Amen to that. Let's pray. Lord, you know our tendencies, so we ask your help that we might be people known as people who love God, who love each other, and love our neighbor as ourselves. Amen. As you go on your way, may Christ go with you. May he go before you to show you the way. May he go behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over, and within you to give you his peace. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's message has encouraged you as you strive to remember that we are all sinners in need of a Savior, no matter how different we may be from one another. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry dependent upon the free will gifts of our listening family. Memorials and honorarium gifts are a meaningful way to remember a loved one. We are thankful for each of our listeners who remember Christian Crusaders with their prayers and gifts. CDs and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Today's service is also available to be heard or read on the Internet. Hundreds of other Christian Crusader sermons can be found in our sermon library as well. Check us out on the web at christiancrusaders.org. We are happy you chose to worship with us this day, and we pray that you'll continue to join us each week on this station. Conducting today's service was the Reverend Steve Kramer, pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Afton, Minnesota, and speaker on Christian Crusaders, now in its 79th year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.